This week, President Bush began a month-long summer vacation in Crawford, Texas. 4 weeks is longer than most presidents spend outside Washington, though at least one president stayed away much longer. 75 years ago this summer, President Calvin Coolidge spent 3 months in the Black Hills of South Dakota. Jim Cook is an actor and historian who reenacts speeches of President Coolidge, and he joins us from WBUR in Boston. Mr. Cook, thanks very much for joining us.
I'm pleased to be here.
Now, we're not certain that this three-month period qualifies as the longest presidential vacation ever, but it does seem to be at least the longest in modern times. Why did Calvin Coolidge go away?
You're in Washington, and you're probably in an air-conditioned space. Turn off that air conditioning, and you'll go away.
It was a little bit different in the time when 100 degrees and humid indoors as well as out.
Yes, indeed. Washington shut down. I mean, there was, except in time of war, there was nothing happening in Washington. So you left.
Now, Calvin Coolidge went out to the Black Hills of South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
We're told that he made his summer residence the South Dakota State Game Lodge in Custer State Park there. And the Western White House, we're told, was that a high school in Rapid City. I don't get a sense of the entire technology and White House staff following this man from place to place on the 1927 equivalent of Air Force One.
There is no equivalent of that, certainly, but there was a considerable retinue with Coolidge. Reporters traveled with him on the train, and he continued to have his twice-weekly scheduled press conferences.
And at one of these press conferences, he made a momentous announcement, did he not?
He handed out slips of paper to the reporters, and when they read what was typed on each slip of paper, it said, "I do not choose to run for president in 1928.
Didn't take any follow-up questions?
Not one.
You do any hunting, fishing out there in the state park?
Did considerable fishing. They had stocked the streams very heavily, and Coolidge was able to catch his limit, I think, in a very, very short period of time.
Now, I gather it was not all relaxation for President Coolidge. He did go to some official ceremonies and functions. Can you tell us about the most famous one of those?
He had been asked if he would dedicate the work that was about to commence on Rushmore Mountain, and that's what he did on the 10th of August. The last time a president traveled on horseback to deliver an address.
Could you read us a bit of that speech that he delivered at
Rushmore?
I'd
be delighted to read the opening of it. "We have come here to dedicate a cornerstone that was laid by the hand of the Almighty on this towering wall of Rushmore. In the heart of the Black Hills is to be inscribed a memorial which will represent some of the outstanding features of four of our presidents, laid on by the hand of a great artist in sculpture. You want more of this?"
We're doing fine.
I can keep it up. It only lasts about 12
it's
minutes,
okay.
The
it's
entire
fine.
Thing.
It's fine. It's fine. Can I ask how you know how this president, who was known as Silent Calvin Coolidge, sounded, Mr. Cook?
Coolidge is, in a sense, our first radio president. More people heard his voice than heard the combined voices of all previous presidents. He also would repeat speeches for the film, so there is talking film of Coolidge delivering addresses.
Mr. Cook, thanks very much for speaking with us.
I am very, very grateful to you for the opportunity.
Jim Cook is an actor and historian from Boston, Massachusetts. He spoke to us at member station WBUR. Next week, he will speak at Mount Rushmore, reenacting that speech by President Calvin Coolidge, dedicating the monument 75 years ago this summer. The current president, George W. Bush, may attend if his current vacation schedule permits.